Confident Mom podcast. I'm Trish Blackwell, your host and confidence coach, and this is a podcast community for busy moms who want to be confident that they are being the best version of themselves they can be, so that ultimately they can be confident moms to the little ones God has given them. I'm a first-time mom learning the ropes of motherhood and humbly learning from those who have gone before me on the beautiful journey it is to be a mom. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Confident Mom community. Good morning, everyone. It is Trish Blackwell, and maybe you're not listening to this in the morning, but I am because I'm a mom. I have to, if I want to have the house empty and quiet, empty never happens, so quiet can if I do it in the wee hours of the morning. So here I am. Good morning. I'm having a cup of coffee with you. We are talking about creating a family legacy. Today is episode number 15 of the Confident Mom podcast. And as you heard, this is a podcast for regular busy moms who just want to be the best mom that they can be. It's a podcast for everyone to have the confidence to know that what they're doing is a great job, and that as a community, we can start backing one another versus comparing ourselves to each other. I like to start the show with a quote about motherhood. So the one for this week is from Robert Browning. So small and so simple. Here it is. Motherhood, all love begins and ends there. And guys, in this episode of Confident Mom Podcast, what we're going to be chatting about specifically is what a family legacy is, the emotional, social, and spiritual components of it. We're going to be doing some probing thoughts on how to create a legacy and heritage that lasts and leaves impact that matters. And then we're also going to talk about practical ways to leave a legacy of memories that I think will really unite your family more intimately. So before we dive into the content, I do want to tell you that this podcast is brought to you by my affiliation with Beauty Counter. I'm a consultant and educator for this amazing company, which is a B Corp company on a mission to get safer products in the hands of everyone. And really what that means is the lack of regulation in the personal care and cosmetic industry is astounding, and it's harmful to our health and our wellness in very, very serious ways. And so we need more voices to join up in our mission. And so if you want to put your passion to purpose while being generously compensated, then I would love to start a conversation with you about what it means to be involved in the safer beauty tribe that is Beauty Counter. You can find out more about Beauty Counter at beautycounter.com/Trish Blackwell. But I mean, the bottom line for me, as a personal trainer, I heard it said to me like this, and I went, whoa. So you eat organic and you exercise, but you don't care about the unregulated toxic ingredients and chemicals that you're rubbing all over your body or all over your face from your makeup or your personal care products. And I went, oh, yeah, you know, that's, for me, that's very true. So it's for me, my passion for Beauty Counter really comes in alignment with my passion for health in general and our overall well-being. So that's why I'm involved in the company. I would love to talk to you about what it would look like for you to be a part of our tribe as well. Okay, so let's talk about legacy. And I'm going to pull directly from an article that is linked in the show notes. You guys, show notes are always at trishblackwell.com/podcasts. And this is just a great article from Focus on the Family, and it's on parenting and building relationships. So the link is going to be in the show notes, which I think if you're listening in iTunes, you can also access right through iTunes. But the bottom line is, no matter who you are, where you live, what your goals might be, we all have one thing in common, and that is a heritage. And according to Focus on the Family, they say it's a social, emotional, and spiritual legacy that's passed on from parent to child, and that every one of us is passed a heritage. And we live that out, and then we continue to give a heritage or legacy onto our family. And what I love about what they're saying in this article is that it's not an option. That you can't say, well, I'm not leaving a legacy, or a legacy wasn't handed to me. That as parents, we always pass on to our children a legacy, some good, some bad, and some of both. And so they really have the spin on this idea of a spiritual, emotional, and social legacy is like a three-stranded cord. Individually, each cord cannot hold a lot of weight, but wrapped together, they're actually really strong. And that's why passing on a positive, affirming legacy is so important and why a negative legacy can be so destructive. But the good news is that with God's help and with a proactive attitude and mindset, you can decide to pass on a positive legacy to your children and to your children's children, whether or not you actually received one. So the other thing I really like about what this article says and I do encourage you to go read it, but is they really talk about if you don't intentionally lead and pass on a legacy, then your children will absorb what the culture passes on. And so it's really important to remember that if you are interested in really deepening the spiritual and emotional and social depth of your child's well-being, it's a process. It's not a one-time event. And it also takes intention from you and your partner. So it's a parental responsibility, but it's one that we don't often talk about because we just sort of like, at least I haven't heard it talked about a lot. It's just kind of, okay, just, you know, make sure they get their teeth brushed, that they're in good schools. I mean, there's so many things to think about as a parent, but I think one of the greatest things that we can be thinking about and should be thinking about are these heritages. So some ideas for a strong emotional legacy is to provide an environment that's safe, where emotional roots can grow, where it's safe to talk about things that are uncomfortable or scary, that there's no judgment in thought processes, and that a deep emotional legacy fosters confidence through stability. It conveys a tone of trusting support. It nurtures a strong sense of positive identity. It creates a resting place for the soul, so to speak. It creates an open discussion where people are allowed to express themselves without judgment and fear, and it really demonstrates unconditional love. So there's no passive aggression. It's not fear based, I guess is the best way to say it. And then when you're thinking about a social legacy, things to think about is self-respect, how you teach your children to respect themselves, but then also how to respect others. Responsibility, which can be cultivated by assigning duties and chores, and making sure that your children and you by example take accountability for your actions, and then also giving them room to make wrong choices once in a while. We can't it's so much easier said than done to not hover parent, but let them make their mistakes and learn from them in a positive way that allows for that growth. Other social legacy heritage, positive soil roots would include unconditional love and acceptance by you and by their other family members, discipline for bad behavior, but also celebration for and affirmation for good behavior. And I mean good character behavior, being kind, right? And we've talked about this on the show before, recognizing and applauding your children for these character strengths that they display, and that to do that more than affirming necessarily their performance. We certainly want to affirm and celebrate their performance, but the character display is way more. And that's something I missed having. I knew my parents were proud of my character and spoke into it, but there was sort of this social, this moral expectation of it versus a celebration of it. Whereas I was praised for performance-based things and achievements, and that's I think part of the reason. I'm not blaming. I'm taking ownership of this, but my propensity towards achievement-based affirmation or perfectionism, I think, stems from some of that. So I want to make sure I raise my children with a balance. It's easy for me to celebrate the performance. So what I have to be intentional is to really celebrate and affirm the character. Let's talk briefly about ways that you can really, really plant seeds into spiritual legacy of your children. And I want to ask you in a question format. So are you acknowledging and reinforcing, faith-based truths in your family? Do your children know that Jesus loves everyone, that God is personal, that they were created for a purpose, that there's no one else in the world like them? Another thing to think about is, are you teaching your children to view God as a personal, caring being who is loved and to be loved and respected? Are you making spiritual activities a routine part of life, a part of daily living? Are you clarifying timeless truths about what is right and what's wrong? And then are you incorporating spiritual principles into everyday living? So not just spiritual activities and routines, but just principles into, life itself. So when I'm thinking about these like ideas of family legacy and generational legacy, I want to encourage you today just to allow yourself some mental space to think about generational curses and blessings that have been passed down, to really assess what generational habits you want to break or maybe reestablish. And then also, like, here's what's so cool about this concept is it's up to you to determine what you want your future generation to be able to say about you. Like, I think that's a really beautiful gift that we have. And the way that you and your partner decide to live and lead your family will set the mold not just for your children on how they live out their lives, but also for your future grandchildren and then your great-grandchildren on how they're going to live theirs. And then for generations to come, the power of what you're doing now has such this amazing compound effect potential that it's just extraordinarily beautiful to me. And so as you think and reflect upon your given legacy, the first question I would start, right? I did this for myself and I went, how am I going to start when I'm thinking about this? Well, really the first thing was, what has been passed on to you that is positive? So know yourself, know your family legacy, and then take pride in it. So what has been passed down to you from your ancestors? What is your heritage that's positive? And it can be something very tangible as wealth. It could be tangible as in, I don't know, tendency for maybe intelligence. It could be work ethic. It could be compassion. Interest in, I mean, I know for my brother, if he was looking at this list, he'd be looking at it differently for me because we have a heritage of loving the Redskins, the football team, the Washington Redskins. Like, that's a family heritage. There's something that we are, I mean, not, it's important to me, but I'm just saying my brother, it's more important to him. He's obsessed. But for me, when I thought about this, I broke it down to, okay, what positive things did I get from my maternal grandparents? What positive things did I get from my paternal grandparents? And then what if that's then even more specifically, what about for my mom and then for my dad? And for me, briefly, my maternal grandparents really gifted me with just this fierce work ethic, a passion for physical activity, and a value on learning and intelligence. And then my paternal grandparents, I would say their value was an open door policy, large family gatherings, laughter, and quality time. Now for my mom, I really think her heritage was the courage to do anything and my belief in my potential, and an unquenchable love for learning. And then my father, again, it's kind of interesting. You can see these alignments, an easygoing attitude, an approach to life with less stress, and an ability to laugh, like the value in laughter. And then you take those positive traits and you write them down. Look at these. This is your heritage. This is something to be proud of. I love looking at this idea of laughter as being something that's been passed down to me, but also that a love for learning is something that's been passed down to me. That is, it's a heritage, it's an inheritance, it's a wealth, it's something I've been given because of the intentional efforts of others that came before me. And so the next question then, you know, without being negative about it, but I'm not saying this in a negative standpoint, but just certainly it's for awareness, is what about the legacy or generational tendencies do you wish to put an end to? And I did the same thing. I identified maternal grandparents, my paternal grandparents, and then for my mom and dad. And for me, again, it's just a working exercise. So it's not pointing the finger, causing, accusations, blame, but it's just identifying, okay, maybe this, some of these traits that I could do without are coming from, or propensities or temptations are coming from this passed down, this part of the legacy that I maybe want to put a stop to. I would say for my maternal grandparents, it's a scarcity mindset. They grew up in the Great Depression, and they were extremely strict, and then a certain amount of sternness. So a strictness, lack of flexibility to lifestyle. My paternal grandparents, I would say, maybe some spending issues, some big groups of people, you know, that always kind of lends to gossip and talking. And so, you know, again, loosely talking, I might completely be off base on some of this, but for my mom, a fear-based anxiety and then some perfectionistic tendencies, which is a response to having stern parents. So when you look at this, it really does make a lot of sense. And for my dad, because he is so laid back, there was some absence of not being involved in things on a deep level, and of sometimes I needed him to be more emotionally invested in, and to just that involvement. So sometimes, here's the thing, sometimes those cons are part of the pros. So you have to look at them. And then sometimes you say, okay, this is an extreme expression of that con. I want to put an end to that. For me, I want to put an end to fear in my family's legacy. I want to put an end to scarcity mindset and scarcity thinking. I believe in a God of abundance. I believe in a life of abundance. And I also want to put an end to perfectionism. Okay, so once you've kind of done your own assessment, the next thing I would really encourage you to do is sit down with your partner, and I've got, well, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things for you to think about. I call this whiteboard vision casting. Now, it'd be ideal if you had this big, giant white erase board, but a white sheet of paper is just as effective, or just the white electronic background of a Word document on your laptop. But here's what the thing is. The whiteness, the whiteboard represents this like open possibility, like this potential for anything to be written. And because it's a whiteboard, it's so easy to erase. So it gives you that creative freedom to just throw everything on the paper. You know, it's almost like take the spaghetti, throw it on the wall, see what sticks. And then you can kind of reassess and really fine tune it together with your partner. But this is an activity to be done together. I'll tell you all 5, and then we'll talk briefly about each one. Create a family mantra. Create a family mission statement. Create family values. Create family traditions. And then create family impact. Now, Brandon, my husband Brandon and I have a pretty good, I think, grasp on most of these, but as new parents, we're really developing some of these. So some of these are really flexible, works in motion, if you will, this like almost living heritage that we're really fine tuning. And I tell you that because there's like, I want to get some artwork done based off of some of these things, but we really need to nail some of it down. And I don't think we can until we've, to be honest, had a couple more months, even a year of parenting experience to really fine tune that vision. So first thing, creating a family mantra. What I mean by that is, one, I have one in the morning. You've heard it before. It's what I say to Ellie every day. And what I say for myself, and something I'm going to say with all of my children, it's I am beautiful. I am loved by God. I am loved by my family. Today, I will love others. If I have sons, I might change the I am beautiful to I am strong. I am loved. I want to highlight whatever that is on the heart of that child that I know, I feel like will feed their confidence and their ability to just be them, to not live in fear that they're not enough. I want that first line to be a message of you are enough. And then also, so that's kind of like this daily mantra. But then as we continue to parent, our children will grow. I also mean family mantras of like, my maiden name is Blackwell. I do everything business under Blackwell, but my married name is Sinan. And so I have visions of, and my intention is as our children grow to say, you know, hey, who are Sinans? Well, you know, before we drop them off for school, right? Sinans are people who love everyone, who are kind to the mean, who are friends to the friendless, who love fiercely. That's who Sinans are. I'm a Sinan. Are you? How are we going to live that out today? That's a family mantra. So a family vision mission statement for us is currently a work in progress, and it's really only 2 to 3 sentences that sort of this declaration of who you are as a family and what you're going to do. Now, we've got a couple drafts of this, but we just, like I said, need to sit down and nail it down. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go on Etsy and get something designed, beautifully designed, put onto canvas, framed, whatever, and it's going to be on full display in my house. So The mission statement needs to be displayed. Also, creating family values. And this is, again, fluid for us. I would like to narrow it down to 5 main family values. But for now, love, generosity, communication, connection, hugs, kindness, courage, integrity. Those are things that we value and we want to make sure we're talking about on a consistent basis because they make up our family values. Family values aren't forgotten. They're talked about consistently. So, again, nail down art 5, I'm going to have the family values put into a nice form of artwork as well to be displayed. And then to create family traditions, I mean, taking picnics, writing poems for one another. For me, Mother's Day, we always go to a winery. Taking family walks, Christmas traditions, family bedtime prayer. These small little things that you do really create big, giant family traditions. And that gets passed on. That's a heritage. That's what stories get told about. And then to create family impact, I really think the way you think about that and the way you talk about that as a family is to ask, what organizations, what causes matter to you and your family? So for us personally, the Blackwell Sign-In family, our church matters to us. Compassion International, which is a child sponsorship program, matters. Young Life matters to us. For me, the inavailability of water in third world countries, of clean drinking water, is something we're passionate about. Human trafficking is something we are passionate about. So we've got to know as a family what causes you want to be involved in Alzheimer's. So on another basis, Alzheimer's, things that I can get involved on a local level as well. I want a global level things, and then local level that I can say that I'm going to back that. This is worth my time. My family is going to make a weekend about backing this cause, research for this. But let your family should know what is that top priority of, if you guys are going to go help the homeless, what is it? And let's stop talking about it and let's actually start doing it. And so here's a couple ways to really start really doing it, right? How to create legacy in tangible ways. One, get involved in those missions. Create a pattern of showing your children that service isn't just something you talk about, but something you do and something you prioritize over something else, that there's great value in humbling yourself and loving others, even when it's, especially when it's inconvenient. Other ways, tangible ways, create family recipes, favorite family recipes, and write them down. Take pictures, create an album of them. Create personal photo albums, personalized for each one of your kids, that tells their story of their life. And they see that it's valued as much. And, you know, it's the cliche to say as a second child, you know, like, especially growing up in the 80s, you know, well, when taking pictures was more, you know, of a multi-step process, right? Like you take the camera out, you got to have film in it, then you got to go take it to the store and get it developed a couple weeks later. And maybe out of the 25 pictures you got, one was good. So it's very different from our world now. But the reality is that, you know, if you look at my brother, who's 3 years older than me and me, and photo albums, I mean, we are the family cliche. We're exactly what I think happened in most American families. My brother has 100 pictures for every one that I have. No, I'm exaggerating. 5. It's probably a 10-to-1 ratio. So 10, he had 10 photos taken of him for every one because, you know, a second kid, like you, all those big milestones are not as maybe exciting or shocking as that first child. So, you know, and it doesn't bother me, but it bothers me a little. And so as a parent, like I need, especially since it's easy now, I know that when we do start trying for baby number 2 and we have that baby, I want to be as generous in my love through, you know, capturing this moment, that's just as important, because when I create these albums and tell the story of my children's lives to them, I want to show them that I was tracking it with enthusiasm the whole way. I don't want to fall into the trap of going, oh, second kid, because it's easy to laugh about and it's easy not to do, but I want to be intentional about the story I help my children see about the beauty of their life. Other ways to get, you know, to be tangibly creating a legacy is to travel as a family, to go places together, to tell stories, to say, hey, we're a family whose life tells a story. The way we love people, the way we love the world, the way we explore the world tells a story. I know for me, especially particularly with my involvement with Beauty Counter and my husband and I's passion for an environment and honoring the earth and taking care of what God's entrusted to us, part of our legacy is going to be talking about ways that we can save the planet, you know, ways that we can honor the environment and minimize our use of electricity and, you know, minimize our carbon footprint and make sure that we recycle. And those are legacy issues. Those are huge. And we're going to talk about clean water and how not everybody has that. And what can we do together to do that? And then be a family of generosity, contribute financially to causes that matter to you, and teach your children to do the same. Another really tangible way that it's talked about a lot, but I think sometimes we think, oh, I'm just trying to pay the bills and I'm just making it. It needs to be a priority. Even if you're living paycheck to paycheck, I believe it's 100% possible to still do this because it's all about prioritization, and a little bit can still go a long way. Just start somewhere, invest financially in your family's future and build ongoing wealth. Brandon and I have a vision to build a blessed future generations with some of the sacrifices we're doing. We're living on a budget for certain reasons, just so we can be really aggressive at that portfolio investment. And it's for us, but it's not. It's for future generations. So, and then I think it would be really cool. Another one, I just threw this list together of ideas, but another really cool, tangible way to create legacy would be to create a book or a journal or a keepsake of wise family sayings or mantras about life or people's, you know, maybe they're just even their go-to phrases. What's important is that we don't forget. Honor the memory, value the memory, write it down, talk about it, and tell stories. So I hope that was inspiring to you to realize that you're going to pass a legacy on one way or the other. So let it be strong. Let it be filled with love. Let it be purposeful. And let it be something that lasts and makes a deep impact on this world and on generations that come after you so far that you would be amazed at the depth of your impact and love. And you guys, if you have not yet, here's a couple announcements as we close. My newest book, Insecurity Detox, is out. If you don't have a copy of the book yet, you're behind the curve. You better go get it. So it's available at all bookstores, also online, Amazon, or just go to the website, insecuritydetox.com, and that can give you a bunch of options. If you have bought my book and you have just, if you're ever like, gosh, I just am so thankful for these shows, there's two things you can do for me. This is how it's like the best thing you could do, to write a review on Amazon for my book and also to write a review in iTunes for the show. Both of those should take you 2 minutes tops. It's the greatest way you can send love back to me to say, hey, thanks for the encouragement. Thanks for the great ideas today. Thanks for the work that you put out here into the world. It matters. It resonates. It is making a difference. So thank you in advance for doing that. I wanted to let you know, I have right now, so this is the month of May, I'm recording May of 2016. I have one open coaching slot for confidence coaching. I don't know if you know, but I work one-on-one with clients. I work with weight loss and fitness. I work with parenting clients who just want to have the confidence to parent differently than they were taught before. And I work with businesses, entrepreneurs who are fighting to break into a new world of entrepreneurship and business building with confidence. Because I mean, let's face it, with confidence, you can conquer anything. So if you need an edge to your life, if you need the mental edge or an accountability partner to help you get your mind right and keep your mind right, then I have spot and space in my coaching clientele for one more person. I meet with people twice a month all over the world via Skype. It's so cool because literally my clients are all over the world and I love it. So it doesn't matter where you are, I can work with you and I would love the opportunity to. If you are interested, just send me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com and I'll give you all the details. And again, you guys, I would love to continue the conversation of how you can get involved with the Tribe of Beauty Counter and the mission that we're moving forward. It's so exciting. It's like one of the most fun things I'm doing in my life right now and I'm just on fire about it. So you can just hit me up on the email as well and just say, hey, let's have that conversation. Let's continue the conversation. Email again, y'all, is trish@trishblackwell.com. Now go out there. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free. be the confident mom that you are meant to be.
You can get more confidence resources at my website, trishblackwell.com, and make sure you get my free one-page roadmap to confidence at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. Thanks for being a confident mom. Now go out there today, be you, be free, be as confident as you were meant to be.